Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We have completed Chapter 10, Vibhuti Yoga. And we'll be now discussing Chapter 11, Vishwarupa Darshan, the cosmic form of the divine. So in last chapter, Arjuna had asked Krishna that tell me how I should feel your presence. The presence of the divine, presence of that all-pervading self, and then how I can meditate upon that. And in response to that, Bhagwan has given him the various examples of excellence in this world from various walks of life for Arjuna, which is also applicable to us. That from our day-to-day life, from our cultural backgrounds, from our spiritual quest, that we find examples all around us of excellence and feel Lord's presence. As we have discussed in Chapter 10, that any time I see excellence, my mind thinks it is the God's blessings. The grace of God. In other words, the divinity is evident in excellence. So Bhagwan has given various examples for Arjuna and said, when you see this, it will remind you of my presence in all things and beings. I'm not limited to those excellent manifestations, but that's where you will find it easier to experience my presence. And now that Arjuna has heard that, he says that I'm not still experiencing that oneness. That oneness which you talk about all throughout this discourse, I have intellectually appreciated and I have come to the conclusion that that's what it is. That there is a one singular entity pervading this entire universe, which is you, the Supreme Self. But I need to have that experience. I would like to experience that oneness. This is something, as Swamiji explains, is similar to how we scientifically make any concept or a theory knowledge of our own. First, I need to gather all the evidences and data. And then, once I have gathered all the data, all the evidences, then now I have to demonstrate that that phenomenon exists. I gather all information about how the water is formed in chemistry classes. Two molecules of hydrogen, one molecule of oxygen can create water. But at some point, I want to see the demonstration so that in the lab, I create that situation and then see the demonstration, how the hydrogen oxygen can create water. In a similar fashion, Arjuna has now understood, but he wants to see a demonstration. So the chapter starts with Arjuna Uvacha. Arjuna said, Mat anugrahaya paramam. Guhyam adhyatma sangnitam yat tvaya uktam vachastena moho ayam vigato mama. With your compassion for me, You have given me this secret knowledge. And as you have said that the self is indestructible, imperishable. One who considers himself to be the slayer or the slain, in both cases he is wrong. There is nothing to grieve over the changes which takes place in this world, including death, because death is not the end of existence. It is only the existence in the form of this body. So, moho yam vigato mama, my delusion is gone. By this discourse of yours, and you have given me the secret knowledge, bhavapyayo hi bhutanam srutau vistarsho maya, tvatta kamalapatraksa mahatmya api chavyayam. And I have also heard the origin and destruction of beings, O lotus-eyed Krishna, from you, and also your inexhaustible greatness. I heard the greatness of the Self, the Supreme Brahman, that which is not limited by anything. I heard from you. And therefore my delusion is gone. I understand it clearly now. Evam etat yatha atha tvam atmanam parameshvara drastum icchami te rupam aishwaram purushottamam. However, I would like to see your form as you described yourself, of that oneness in this world of plurality. I have understood that you pervade the entire universe, and therefore there is no existence separate from you. However, at this time I cannot see that, and I would like to see that. I would like to experience that oneness of yours. Manyase yadi tat shakyam maya drastum iti prabho. If you think it is possible for me to see that divine form, then O Lord of Yogas, show me your that imperishable form which includes everything in this world. I would like to see that complete form of yours where everything is in yourself. It is easier for me to see your presence in this world of plurality. As Swamiji explains, that it is easier for me to see gold in gold jewelry. I can take one, look at it, experience it, the gold in it. I can pick up the another one, as long as it is the excellence. In other words, the gold is apparent. It's not covered by something. The gold is manifested in the jewelry. I can see the gold in it. So it is easier to see the divinity in the world of plurality for us. What is not possible for us generally is seeing all the plurality in that one single entity. I can imagine that the God is in you, God is in me, God is in he, God is in she. And that's possible. If my mind and intellect has achieved that level of purity, level of understanding, then I start seeing the divinity in all beings. And therefore in our culture, when we meet each other, we say namaste, namahate, I bow down to you. I'm not bowing down to the limited self which is standing in front of me, because I may have my own opinion about that person, but I still do namaste to all of the people I meet at least culturally, that's what we should be doing or we are doing. Who we are bowing down to is the divinity in that person. That I recognize the divinity in me and divinity in you is the same. So I respect the divinity in you. Namaste. I bow down to you. With that recognition, my transaction with you would be always of very friendly, very congenial, and not adversarial. Because I have recognized that myself and yourself has one thing in common, that consciousness, the divinity which makes me who I am, the same divinity, the same consciousness is within you. What I have trouble imagining, or trouble perceiving, or trouble seeing is the whole divinity is one, and you and I in them. And we have heard in Bhagavad Gita before, Bhagavan says, I am not in them, they are in me. The car is in the space. The space is not in the car. When I see a car which was built in Germany, there was space inside when it was in Germany. There was German space. And they seal it tight and then transport that car to United States. Now the car is here. The space is still intact, which was sealed in Germany. Now, whether the space now in the United States is the German space or American space in the car? Obviously, the answer is simple. It's American space. It's in America. The space inside the car is American space. So what happened to the German space which was in the car when it was sealed tight in Germany? The answer obviously is in our way of seeing space. As long as I see the space in the car, I have difficulty imagining what happening to that space which was German space when it came to America. The space was inside the car. Car was never opened till it came here. Well, it should have been a German space in it. But if I start seeing that the space was not in the car was in the space, then I do not have any difficulty. Car was traveling in the space. And therefore, wherever the car is, that country's space is in that car, because car is traveling in the space. For me to imagine that, I have to first have a perception of a space as a totality without any gap. As long as I see two, a German space is one space, an American space is another space, I will have difficulty. But if I can imagine a homogeneous, continuous, universal space, now I can see everything is in it. So what you and I have difficulty in recognizing the unity between myself and yourself and herself, and also the objects in this room, is because of the distance between us. I am here and you are there. You are there and see somewhere else. What is separating us from each other is the space. What is separating me from my father is the time. My father lived up to 1975, and I'm here today in 2014. Thinking about it. So we are separated from each other by time. So there are two things which create this world of plurality for me. and that is space and time. We have also heard from sages and scientists that this concept of space and this concept of time is creation of my mind. So one can say, well, what is the distance between here to DC? And someone says it's too long a journey. And somebody will say it's too close. It's only 2-hour drive. So my mind creates the valuation whether it's too far or too little. That's the conception of space in my mind. Same thing if somebody says, I'll be back in 30 minutes. Well, is it too soon for me or too long for me? Well, I can't wait for 30 minutes. You need to be back here in 10 minutes. Because my conception of time is different than his conception of time. For him, 30 minutes is too short. And for me, 30 minutes is too long. Well, anytime somebody goes to India for a vacation, and when they come back, and if I ask that person, so how was your vacation? The answer is, oh, it was great, but it was too short. And I say, how long were you there? And say, well, about 4 weeks. I say, 4 weeks for me is too long a time. I only go there for a week or two. So for me, a 2 weeks vacation is good enough. For them, 4 weeks is too short. Because when you are enjoying there, 4 weeks seems too short. But if you were suffering because of the heat or monsoon and all the other things which we normally complain about, if I'm suffering, I'll say, boy, it was too long. I mean, I tried and then I was ready to get out. So even time is a concept of my mind. If these two concepts of my mind are wiped out, then I will see the world completely differently. If the concept of space is wiped out from my mind, then I will see you and I and everyone in this room come together as one entity. There is no space between us. So we are all joined together. And we will be one entity with different limbs, but we're all together. Swamiji uses a very good analogy in his commentary that a toy maker making toys from clay, and he has various toys and various dolls, elephant, tiger, baby, and a bird, and then he decides, well, no, this is not good. I need to use this clay for something much larger, more sellable. He takes all those dolls and compresses them into one ball of clay. And when he compresses them together, what he has done is taken all the space away from each other. Previously, they were sitting on a table or in a display box as separate entity. And I can identify them. Once he gathers them and lumps them into one, and now a big lump of clay. But at the same time, I can see the face of the elephant on that surface of that lump. Also see the baby smile. Also see the tiger's face. What is taken away from each other is the space. Well, same way, the events in my life has a time value of it was in my past, or it is in my present, or it will be in my future. My childhood is in my past. My youth is in my past. My old age is in my present. And my death is in my future. But suppose the time concept is wiped out from my mind, all these events will all come together as one. And I'll see all of them at the same time. An example which I had heard from Murari Bapu explained the concept of past, present, and future in a very nice way, that if a procession is going on and the people are lining up to watch that procession, the people who are at the front end, who have seen the procession starting and the procession moved on from them, to them the front of the procession is in the past because they have already seen it and it's gone. Then maybe that float number 18th now, which is in front of them, the 17 floats have gone, the 18th one is in front of them, that 18th one is in their present. 1 through 17 are in their past. And let's assume that there are total 30 floats in that procession. In 19 to 30 are yet to come. Then 19 to 30 are in my future. So from my standpoint, as a spectator of the procession, my standpoint will decide whether the event is happening in a past, present or future. But somebody from a sky view, in a helicopter with a camera, is watching the whole thing, it's seeing it at the exactly the same time. Floats 1 through 17, 18 as well as 19 to 30, all at the same time. For that sky view camera, everything is in present. For me, the spectator on the ground, there is a past, present and future of the procession for me. So, the concept of space and time is creating this world of plurality for me. And now I'm seeing the divinity, the truth, the substratum on which this plurality is created. But somehow, to recognize that this plurality is nothing but singularity, then I need to have that experience. And therefore, Arjuna says here, O Lord, if you think it is possible for me, it is not possible for me right now to see this world through this perspective of mine. Through this eye, I'm conditioned to see things in past, present and future, or separate from each other. I have to create a new vision. I have to have a different point of perspective. I need to have the sky view vision of this procession of life to see that all in one. So he said, Drastum Ichhami Te Rupam Aishwaram. I want to see that divine form of yours where everything is in your form. Manyase yadi tat sakyam maya drastum iti prabho. If you think it is possible for me, please give me that vision so I can see your cosmic form. We'll stop right here.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om, Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.